As we speak, two Chinese activists are waiting to learn their fate from a court that is not open to the general public. They're accused of, among other things, picking quarrels, provoking trouble, and abusing other people repeatedly. Niu Lan and her husband, Dong Zhiqin, went on trial in Beijing for fighting for people whose land has been appropriated by the state. That sort of case is not isolated. They're not alone. The Christmas season, just the last few days, have seen two prominent Communist Party critics, Chen Wei and Chen Zhi, sentenced to 9 and 10 years prison, respectively, for the crime of subversion. This all follows the introduction of tighter controls on Chinese media as well, including outlets who supply foreign broadcasters like the ABC, which has inspired both Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International to issue withering critiques of Beijing just in the past week. For more, I'm joined by Sam Zarifi, who's Amnesty International's Asia-Pacific Director. He's currently in London. Hi there, Sam.
Morning.
This latest crime, the two dissidents that are awaiting their fate now, these are land rights activists. So these are the sorts of cases where they're trying to do something to help out people whose land has been appropriated by the government. What exactly have they done that the Chinese government seems to have found so egregious?
Sure. Keep in mind that the issue of land appropriation and forced evictions has been a flashpoint in China for much of the last decade, and in fact, the pace of it seems to be increasing. Niu Lan and Dong Zhiqin, around 10 years ago, had their own house, their own courtyard house in Beijing, taken over by the state, and they fought it. And starting,
how did they fight it, though?
They did it exactly the way the Chinese government wanted citizens to act, simply by going to the courts and using the law as developed by the Chinese government itself. So, you know, this was not a case of really any kind of illegal activity of any sort. These people were working within the law. These are the kinds of people that the Chinese government should be highlighting as the new China, but instead, especially Niu Lan was beaten quite severely back in 2002 when she was first arrested, and then they were arrested again in April as they had continued their struggle, their legal struggle against forced eviction of what they had faced, but also on behalf of some other people. So we've seen today that Niu Lan is not doing very well at all. She had her kneecaps broken, since 2002, and had been either on crutches or on a wheelchair since then. I think today she was doing very poorly. She couldn't. She had to be on a hospital bed in the trial chamber and on oxygen part of the time. So she's someone whose life has been made really miserable by the Chinese government simply for asserting the right that the government had given her.
The Chinese government, or at least I suppose the courts, seem in something of a belligerent mood at the moment. I mean, the examples I mentioned of Chen Wei and Chen Zhi, sentenced to 9 and 10 years prison respectively for subversion, they seem pretty harsh to me. Are they harsh by Chinese standards?
These are definitely quite harsh punishments. You know, the new normal in China for the past year, we can't even really talk about an intensifying crackdown. The government has been very, very harsh on critics for the last couple of years. But over the last year, obviously the government, afraid of kind of catching the wind blowing from the Arab Spring, had been cracking down on people. But the sentences against Chen Zhi and Chen Wei are really unusually harsh compared with what we had been seeing. And it's not unusual for the Chinese government to schedule these kinds of cases around this time of year, because it's when a lot of the international media is distracted by the holiday season. A lot of diplomats and journalists are out of Beijing in particular. So it has been a very worrisome week China's civil society.
I'm interested in this crime of subversion, because that's what Chen Shih and Chen Wei were sentenced under. That was what they were convicted of. It was also the crime that was applied to Liu Xiaobo, the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize winner. Mm-hmm. Is this something that the Chinese government is resorting to more and more?
Again, the crime itself, it's not really something that would be recognized under international law, simply inciting subversion. This is the kind of thing that the international legal system specifically does not allow. It's so vague. It allows the government to charge anyone with inciting subversion, and it has been one of the primary tools of the government for beating up its critics. As you mentioned, we saw that Liu Xiaobo was jailed for incitement. To see these kinds of sentences handed down for subversion is really something of a worry. And even in cases where we've seen some activists, for instance, Hu Jia, who's a HIV/AIDS activist and served 3.5 years for incitement, was released. He was released in June, but he's still being kept under house arrest along with his family, his wife and young daughter. So the government is really abusing its own laws. It's really abusing this notion of inciting subversion simply to go after people who are doing nothing other than critiquing and criticizing the government for failing to carry out its responsibilities. And again, these people are not in any way doing anything really illegal. They're not, trying to break the system. They are operating within the rules that the Chinese government had set down, and which we now see the Chinese government has effectively all but ignored.
The Chinese government's narrative on this has been reasonably consistent, it seems to me. Basically that civil rights may be compromised from time to time, but this is important because there's a huge economic development story there. There's huge amounts of poverty, and that the civil liberties will come over time once the economic development is perhaps more secure and there's more economic prosperity. Do you, first of all, I would assume you don't necessarily buy that argument. Feel free to tell me I'm wrong. But do you see any relationship between that sort of argument, the economic development side or side of the equation in China, and the kinds of cases that are currently being brought?
I think that's exactly the problem. I think the Chinese government had tried to make the argument, a Faustian bargain, that its citizens would be deprived of civil and political rights in exchange for massive economic development. But that narrative has really broken down. I'm not sure that it was ever actually true, but even as a narrative, it's really broken down in the last few years, especially around issues like forced eviction, land appropriation, where you see that the people who are suffering are exactly the kind of people that in the Chinese government's narrative are supposed to be benefiting from the new system. And they are pursuing the rights that the Chinese government itself has been ballyhooing publicly, internationally, as part of the new China. As we have seen kind of an international economic slowdown, we've seen the land issue become much more sensitive. If you remember last week, there was a face-off in a village in Wuhan in southern China where the local population essentially rose up and took over the village because they were so disgusted by the Communist Party officials' takeover of land illegally. And another aspect of this is labor unrest, where, again, we see workers more and more complaining about working conditions and the situation that they have. So that narrative, I don't think, was ever true as an intellectual exercise, but certainly even factually right now, it doesn't hold water. And again, we're seeing people who are getting kicked out of their houses. And typically, the people who are losing out are the people who are marginalized already and who can't defend themselves against essentially greedy officials.
Sam Zarifi, really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you very much.
That's Sam Zarifi, who's Amnesty International's Asia-Pacific Director.